The Dice Man cometh!
From Tassie to Townsville, Huonville to Hyboria, Middle-earth to Mythotopia, Catan to Cthulhu's watery slumber. This is The Dice Man cometh for another Thursday evening on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. I'm Trent.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Garth.
And we have a special show tonight.
We have all Bruno. No, not that Bruno. All Bruno all the time. We're going to have Bruno.
What the hell are you talking about?
We're having an interview with Bruno.
I don't know this Bruno reference.
Bruno, the Sacha Baron Cohen film.
Oh, okay.
It's not a Borat, it's a Bruno.
I was one of the millions who didn't bother seeing that one.
Oh, yeah, you didn't miss much. Let's put it that way.
Thanks, Mark. It's off to a good start tonight. Yes, a special interview with one of the world's leading board game designers, Bruno Cathala, spoke to myself from the French Alps a week or so back, and you'll hear the results of that this evening here on the Dice Men Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM. But for now, we suggest you get your dancing shoes on with a bit of Caius. Desert Rock from Caius and Gardenia from Welcome to Sky Valley. And that's the starting metal tune tonight on this show about tabletop games and a whole bunch of nerdy stuff that we like to talk about on the Dice Man Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM with Trent, Mark and Garth.
Yeah, well, I'm really excited to listen to our show tonight because, like I do a lot of the time, I search the interwebs for interesting things that are in our hobby. And one of the things we've talked about, you know, is who we'd like to have a chat with on the show and who we find as a bit of inspiration or who we, you know, have almost really enjoy getting to the table as designers. And I thought, why not go straight to the top? And I thought I'd send a little geek mail to Bruno Cathala. And lo and behold, within 24 hours, the guy replied to me, which I thought was absolutely phenomenal. And when I said it out to you guys that, you know, we've got him, I think there was a general bit of excitement going on.
Absolutely, yeah.
Can we explain who Bruno Cathala actually is for anyone who doesn't know?
Yeah, well, he's one of the, I would say, one of the leading European designers based primarily in France. And I first came across him when I first came back into gaming as an adult. I had a lot of, what got me in was Days of Wonder.
Mm.
And I had a lot of the early Days of Wonder titles, like Shadows over Camelot, like Cleopatra and the Society of Architects. These are games that I still have that I haven't got rid of because they're such great games. Queen's Necklace was another small one. And Bruno Cathala was a part of all of those. Now, I think one of his traits has been that he works very cooperatively. So he's worked a lot with Ludovic Montblanc on those Days of Wonder titles. He's worked a bit with the other Bruno Fiduti.
Mm-hmm.
I think he might be Swiss. But, you know, it is that sort of European cabal. And they've worked with Days of Wonder. They've worked with Asmodee. They've worked with Madigo, is another some of those real European powerhouse design studios. And he's done so much work. So I'm really interested to hear what he has to say.
Without any further ado, here is the first part of our special interview with Bruno Cathala. Bruno Cathala is coming to us from the French Alps, where it's expected to be a top of 5 degrees today. The man has too many game titles under his name, too many awards for me to list. I'd be here all day, so let's just cut to the chase and welcome Bruno Cathala to the Dice Man Cometh. Thank you for joining us, sir.
My pleasure to be here. It's a great opportunity for me to have the possibility to speak with Australian gamers.
You do quite a few interviews with players and fans like myself who run these little podcasts. You don't mind your fans bothering you to want to get a piece of your time?
No. I'm designing board games, and board games are there to be shared with other people. It's not something you are making alone. So it's always a great pleasure for me to have this possibility to share my passion with other passionate people. And never mind if I am the game designer of many games. Maybe tomorrow I will play your own games. So we belong to the same family, I think.
Well, let's talk about your big hit of the moment, and that is five tribes. A few months now since the game was released, and people are still talking about it. They're still playing it. They're still, most importantly, buying it. Does it seem harder to cut through a crowded market nowadays and have a hit than it was 10 years ago when you first started?
I think so. The landscape of games has changed. Now things are going always faster and faster. And it's incredible to see that some games are forbidden only 3 months after their first release.
Mm.
So that means that having the opportunity to have a game who stays on the market is really a great luck for me. Yes, it is. I've worked for that. I made a lot of convention before the release and after the release to be there, to teach the game, to share it with people. But, you know, you never know why people will focus on that game and not on another game. So I'm happy with what happens with Five Tribes. Really happy because it's a game which means a lot for me.
Yes, and of course, it came out at more or less the same time as another game with your name on it, which is The Abyss. Now, yep. Your name obviously is enough to sell some copies of a game. There's always going to be some hardcore gamers who will buy whatever it is that you put out. The Abyss, though, doesn't seem to have gone as well as what Five Tribes has, which seems to have really caught people's imagination.
Yes, Abyss is also a great success, and it seems that it will stay on the market also. So this year, in 2014, I was really a happy designer.
My perception was that The Abyss wasn't quite as successful as what Five Tribes had been.
I'm not sure for that, because maybe that people don't speak the same way with... maybe there are not so many comments than for Five Tribes, but I have the sales in front of me, and I just can say that these two games have quite the same sales.
Okay, well, I stand corrected, happily so. I've read that Five Tribes evolved from an unreleased game that you had to scrap. Could you tell us that story, please?
Yeah. I just first have to begin to explain how I'm working. So I am game designer and I get royalties depending on the sales of my games.
Mm.
And this is not enough to live, to get enough money for my flat, for my children, etc.
Mm.
So that means that I have to make other things in parallel. And in parallel, I'm working as game developer for some game companies. And this gives me money. So that means that you have games in which you don't see my names, but I've worked a lot on them. I've been paid for that.
Right.
And during that time, when I'm developing games for other company, I have not time enough to develop my own games. And I would say maybe, I don't remember exactly, but four years ago, I had in my head an idea to develop a game using Mancala mechanism. And I wrote that on my book, but I had not the time to develop it for myself because I was engaged in development for a publisher.
Yes.
And when I had started to have enough free time, Trajan was published. And my games I had wrote on my book was exactly Trajan, but exactly. So it was impossible for me to make the same game. There were not enough big differences, only slight things. So it was not possible. I had to scrap that project. But it was really frustrating for me because... And the market showed me that it was a good idea because Trajan has been a success. And I kept in mind maybe one day to make something else using Mancala mechanism. And it came 2 years ago with another idea, different enough from Trajan to develop that game, which became Five Tribes.
And that's the first part of my interview with Bruno Cathala. There you go, chaps.
Yeah, that was really interesting, wasn't it? I think really interesting that a gentleman who publishes or releases so many games says he can't live on that.
Yeah, it's quite amazing, isn't it?
Mm.
And as a consequence, he does all this development work and has had his fingers in games that we just don't know about because his name's never actually associated with them, as if he's not putting out enough stuff himself.
Yeah, exactly. No, and that's cool. Good start, Trent.
Thank you, thank you. And we get to that and the reasons why he's so prolific a little bit later in the show. The other thing I just wanted to say coming out of this is when Five Tribes first came out, because it's been a huge hit, I didn't want a bar of it. I thought it looked terrible.
Yeah, I saw it and thought that. And the whole Mancala mechanism for me actually turned me off. I thought, yeah, because it is one of the most ancient games, Mancala, with the pits and the seeds. But I'm interested to play it now.
Yeah, it looked like it was just going to be throw all your meeples on a table and just wriggle them around a little bit, but we'll have to play it.
No, there are mechanics at work, as there always are with Bruno. And more of Bruno in just a moment on Edge Radio, 99.3 FM.
That was Satan Speeds Up by King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizards. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Now on to part two of the Bruno Cathala interview with Trent.
Now, you have a background in math and physics and in scientific research, but also at one time, I understand that you wanted to play music and you were even thinking about drawing your own comics. Is that right?
Yes, when I was 20 years old, my project was to become an artist and to design comics, in fact, to make a storyboard and also the graphics. But my chance and problem was that in school, mathematics and physics were quite easy for me.
Right.
And you know that parents always are fearing that artistical career will not give you enough for your life.
Yes, yes.
So they didn't forbid me to do what I wanted really to do, but they influenced me, I think, and I chose the most easiest way for me.
Are you still illustrating at all?
Just recently. Because maybe you know that we had some terrible events in Paris
two weeks ago. Yes,
I've been really hurted by this event because you know in France we are very connected with expression freedom.
Yes, absolutely.
This encouraged me to take my pencil back and to make some drawings connected to that terrible story.
Are these being published?
Only on Facebook. But if you want, I can send you the drawings by mail.
Or you could make everybody your friend on Facebook, Bruno. It's up to you.
Yeah.
So you've been a professional game designer now since 2004, and that was 2 years after you were fired from your last job. How does it feel now, looking back at that time, now that you've pretty much achieved your dream, Bruno? It must feel quite surreal.
Yeah. Each day, I just say me that I'm really lucky. I'm working on my... I get my money from my passion. So that means that it's never a problem to go to work. And how many people have the same possibility? So it's really nice. Frankly speaking, I will never have quit my former job if I was not fired. I also loved what I was doing. R&D in material sciences is something which is also really passionate, you know.
Yes.
And it's much more comfortable for money than designing games. So, but now I don't have to complain. I have a real nice life with a high quality. That means that I'm working a lot, in fact. But I can spend my time the way I want. If I want to work during the night because it's sunny and I want to ride my bike, I can do that. So it's perfect.
Hey, is that snow outside your window that I can see?
Yes, it is.
So what kind of temperature do you have there in the French Alps at the moment?
At the moment, it was snowing yesterday all the day. And today it's cold. It's -5 this morning.
Wow.
It's planned to be 0 this afternoon. And we have much snow, but we have snow at this time.
Yes, ride your bike through all that snow. Please, please put that on Facebook. Yeah.
not today.
So can I ask you about the development work that you're doing with various publishers and game companies? And as you say, your name never appears on these titles. So are you basically brought in to try and break other designers' games? Are you sort of brought in to be the bad guy to test these things?
No, I don't think I am the bad guy. It's just that something that that is really surprising for me, it's that sometimes publisher sign games with other designers, and you know that at this time the project is not really in the good shape to be published.
Mm-hmm.
On my point of view, doing the final work, the fine tuning, or all the development and the modification which are necessary is the job of the game designer. But it seems that some of them don't have time enough, or maybe are good to have the initial ideas, but not to finish the game. In that situation, a publisher called me just for that final work, in fact. This is something that was really surprising for me, because I thought that it was something that the initial designer had to do for themselves.
Mm. And does that describe the sort of work that you've done on the upcoming Conan Hyborian adventure game, which is on Kickstarter at the moment?
No, with Conan, something completely different.
Okay.
The game is a game from Frédéric Henry, and it's very well tuned, and there is absolutely no problem in that game. It's just that the publisher and the designer, Fred Henry, are friends, and they asked me to develop a scenario, and also to other French designers like Croc, Antoine Boza, or Ludovic Maublanc. So that means that it is a game by Frédéric Henry with some additional stories by other designers.
Okay.
It's a kind of collective work, but Frédéric Henry made all the initial stuff.
Well, it's certainly been received very, very well on Kickstarter. I mean, it's gone absolutely through the roof as far as the funds that it's raised. And of course, Kickstarter has changed many things about the gaming industry, but it also seems to have maybe caused a few problems. Could you give us your feelings about Kickstarter and its influence on the industry, please?
Yes, for sure. It's something I'm looking carefully.
Correct me if I'm wrong, you've not actually put any of your games on Kickstarter as yet, is that correct?
No, not myself. I'm not close to that idea, but first, it's always the publisher who decides to do that, not the game designer.
Yes, yes.
One of the consequences of Kickstarter for me is that people, more and more geeks, focus on virtual games. What I mean is that they dream a lot about games who don't really exist.
Mm.
They spend their money now, and they will get the game maybe 1 year or sometimes 18 months later.
Yes.
And during that time, they forget the project and are enthusiastic for other projects, etc. And that means that all the passionate gamers are looking always in the future. And that means that when a game is released, in fact, even the first day, it seems to be old.
It seems like an old idea by the time it actually arrives.
Exactly, because people are looking 18 months in the future, in fact. And never mind if the game on Kickstarter was not so good as it were as they expected, it's not so a problem because this money is still waste for a long time. But now this project I see on Kickstarter will be so cool, so nice that I want to buy to pledge on that one, etc. And I think that Kickstarter is one of the facts who accelerate or diminishes the life of games.
This is Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and the Dice Man Cometh talking tabletop games. And the man with the accent is one of the world's leading board game designers, Bruno Cathala, talking about his feelings on Kickstarter, the crowdfunding service, making games disposable. Gentlemen, discuss.
Yeah, it's really...
We could have a whole show just on this idea.
Absolutely. Easily. And we're just tossing backwards and forwards that, as if the cult of the new wasn't a problem enough with games, you know, you've got to have the new hotness... He's exactly right that the new hotness is the new hotness before the game ever appears, and it's out of the hotness by the time the game's actually released.
And I dare say that only a very small percentage of games ever live up to the hype.
Yeah.
You know, and especially when you are talking about campaigns for Kickstarter, they might only go for 30 or 60 days, but then you are waiting that year, 18 months to get the game. How do you maintain that level of excitement and back it up with the actual product?
I can't help but think about Two Rooms and a Boom that I backed months ago. And look, I'm probably exaggerating here, but in my head, I want to say a good 4 to 6 months late now. And sure, a lot of excitement, but will it live up to the hype? Will I be able to get a group of 50 people together to play that game as promised? Maybe not.
Yeah, and you've moved on mentally to the next thing. And I know... I must have...
To the next Kickstarter,
yeah. Well, I must have like 4 or 5 now that are finished and I'm waiting on. Probably the first one of those is still 3 or 4 months away. By the time I get the last of those, which is the one I've been most excited about recently, you're right, it's just going to be a dim, distant memory.
More with Bruno Cathala in a moment on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
Submotion Orchestra with City Lights. We can see a few city lights here in the deep, dark south of Tasmania.
They have electricity here now.
Yeah, that's right. On the Dice Men Cometh with Edge Radio 99.3 FM,
And it's no longer compulsory to marry your cousin. There's all sorts of great things happening in Tassie.
Electricity!
Not just board games.
Speaking of electricity, we got on the electricity lines and spoke to Bruno Cathala, and here he is for some more chat.
I've read that you believe that games are too cheap and have too short a lifespan. Now, in Australia, we might slightly disagree with that because, of course, we pay a hell of a lot more for our games here by the time we factor in the transport to the other side of the planet. But you think that actually people aren't paying enough?
Yes, because all companies are trying to make games the cheapest as possible with a very low margin, and nobody wins money on that. So I don't think it's a good way. I would prefer on my side to have games more expensive and making people more thinking of what they're buying. Because if you have wait some time to buy that game you really want, just because you didn't have the money at the good time, you will play it a long time. If the games are really cheap, you buy them, you play them one time, and then you forget them.
But then again, Bruno, I mean, you yourself are responsible for a great many titles every year. I mean, how many games are you working on at the moment?
At this moment, I'm working on about 10 prototypes, I think.
And, I mean, I don't want to get too personal about your financial situation or anything, but as you say, it's very, very difficult to make a living from royalties alone. So I imagine one of the things... I mean, this is probably the reason why you are so prolific, yes?
No. It's true that it helps me, yes, to get enough incomes. But I don't make games because I need to publish games to get money. I'm only working on games I want to play myself. So when I start a project, just because I want to play that now.
So, I mean, look, the industry has grown massively and changed a lot in the 10 or so years that you've been working. And as we've noted, there are hundreds and hundreds of titles coming out all the time. And yet we're also in this period of economic downturn, particularly in Europe. Mm-hmm. Are you worried that we're in a sort of board gaming bubble? Do you think that things are going to change economically in the industry?
It's difficult to know. In fact, I just can observe that things are changing with time. When I started on the game industry, we were all focused on what I was doing in Germany. Okay. Mm. Now, I think that in Europe, the most active industry is in France. Now.
Yes, of course, and you've had the mergers with Asmodee happening, which has obviously got to be great for the French gaming industry.
Exactly, but that means that in 10 years in Europe, things have changed from Germany to France. So that means that it's not stable, and it will still go on. And maybe that tomorrow, the most active part of the game industry will be in Japan, or I don't know. But it's hard to make prediction for the future. One other thing is that here in Europe we have some economical crisis. Mm. Okay, but at this time the game industry is not so much concerned by that. I'm not economical professional. Okay,
yes.
I'm not sociological, but I think that during this crisis time, people need to have some funny things to do. So that means that they don't have enough money to make big trips, for example, but staying home, maybe they need some games to spend good time. So maybe it's possible that this crisis is not a bad thing for game industry now.
So, Bruno...
I don't know. I'm wondering.
Yes, and we're all hoping that it continues to get stronger and stronger. Bruno, you're working on 10 prototypes at the moment, and you've been designing for over 10 years. Do you still play games for fun? Because I imagine that the last thing you want to do when you get a chance to relax is to play a damn game.
For sure. I'm only playing for fun.
Right, okay.
Yeah. It's what I tried to explain before. When I'm working on a game, it's because I'm excited to play that game myself. My only complaint is that I have not time enough to play other games than mine. And it's really that. I know exactly what happens in game industry because each day I would say one hour on internet to exactly know who is doing what with who.
Okay. Yes.
And reading rules but all the new games I don't play them. Only a few of them I have time enough to play them.
Any particular titles that you're enjoying at the moment?
Yeah, Deus from Pearl Games.
Oh yes.
Game. I really like that game. And I'm waiting. I know the game because I had the opportunity to play it on the prototype. But I'm really waiting for Elysium, which was published by the Space Cowboys, and which is a game by Matthew Dunstan,
I think. That's the one.
The same who made Relic Runners. And this game is fantastic.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it will get some prizes.
It's Bruno Cathala with us on The Dice Man Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Without being racist, just to cut through the man's accent, the games he's playing at the moment are Elysium and how do you pronounce it?
Deus.
Deus.
As in Deus Ex Machina.
Thank you. Mm. And when he says the word focused, it does come out as fuckyust.
Okay.
Designers are fuckyust on particular aspects of... That's Bruno Cathala.
Look, it's really great to hear him talk up Australia's own, we'll keep claiming him, Australia's own Matt Dunstan with his Elysium because, you know, I won't say we were one of the first to talk to Matt, but, we were very interested to talk to him. Yeah, really looking forward to seeing that game.
And Mark, you were possibly the first to make the Matt Damon joke to him.
First and only. About the Elysium Matt Damon expansion.
Exactly.
And Matt Damon!
How do we feel about Bruno's claim that board games are too cheap?
Well, I support them being more expensive as long as they get to eBay quicker. That's great. But look, I guess in all seriousness, you know, I think for me, expense needs to equal high level of replayability.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I can completely justify spending more for a game if I know I'm going to get 10, 15 plus game plays out of it. But if I'm going to buy a game and I just don't know whether it's going to be good enough, that money's staying in my wallet.
He seems to be saying that if you paid more for it, you'd be more inclined to go back to it more often. But that doesn't mean the game's going to be any better, does it?
That's possibly a chicken before the egg thing. Surely you need the game to be good for you to want to buy it so that you play it again. It's not the other way around.
I do see, though, this sort of like the python eating itself with Kickstarter, where things are getting cheaper and cheaper on Kickstarter. And I did think this about Grail games and there are too many Cinderellas, where because it's only $16 a pop, you've just got to get a truckload of people to get to the dollar amount that they needed, because a lot of 16s don't add up to much.
No.
But there is, again, and I remember having a chat with David about this one night, you know, the expectation from people that, well, it's a small card game, we're not going to pay much more than that. So, you know, it is a difficult thing for these guys to set the prices.
It just goes back to that thing we keep hearing, you don't go into board games thinking you're going to make a fortune, right? And because this guy can barely make a living. And we get back into that and some more with our last bit of our interview with Bruno Cathala next on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
And that was Allies with Ivory. That was a beautiful song, wasn't it? You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
I almost believed you.
I'm just so genuine.
She is another great Australian singer-songwriter.
Yeah, no. Let's go to the final part of our Bruno interview.
What's coming up next for you? I know that you've been working with your friend Bruno Faduti on Raptor, which is a two-player game. Is that expected later this year, I believe?
At first, I hoped it would be published for Cannes Festival end of February, but I think that it will come. In fact, it will be released before summer, I think.
Okay.
Other things I can say is that this year you will have an expansion for Five Tribes and an expansion for Abyss.
Already, fantastic. And were these ideas for expansions built into the design when you were originally tinkering away with it, or is it the sort of thing that a publisher puts a bit of pressure on you to, you know, try and extend the life of that particular license?
No, it's none of these two situations.
Okay.
It was not something I planned to do when we were designing the initial game, and it is not publisher asking for that. But it's these two games, I really love them, and I play them a lot, and I still play them. And you know, when you have played a game more than 100 times, you need something new to refresh it. And that means that on my own side, I wanted something new to go on and play these two games again and again. And so I've developed these two expansions. And then I presented them to the publisher. They said, for sure, we have to do that.
Any thoughts on resurrecting Shadows over Camelot? I mean, it's such a great title, and it really popularized the traitor mechanic, which is in so many games now. But that title still has a lot of prestige, even though, you know, people might prefer to play Dead of Winter or Battlestar Galactica or something newer. But I think Shadows over Camelot, you know, could still have some life in it yet, maybe?
I hope so. Shadows over Camelot is something really special for me because it's at the beginning, the game was started alone by Serge Lager, which is my co-designer on that game, and invited me to work with it on that project. So it has been such a great opportunity. And this game gave me, I think, some international notoriety that I didn't have before.
Yes.
So this is really something special. And for me, it's quite surprising to see that people still play it again and again now, quite 10 years later. One thing which has helped this game to stay popular now in the States is that it has been taken by Will Wheaton on tabletop.
Ah, yes.
This has game quite a second life to the game. Now, I've seen that a lot of our games now include Traitors Inside, and I think it's normal. It's not something which belongs to us, you know. And my hope would be to maybe rework on that game to make a new expansion, but I'm quite sure that the publisher is not really asking for that.
Well, we wait and see. We wait and see. And one final question, Bruno. Is there a holy grail of game ideas or some kind of ultimate game that is sitting in the back of your mind that one day you hope to design? Do you still feel like you have some kind of goal that you're working towards as far as your designs go?
There is something I would like to do one day, but it seems that my head is too complicated for that. One day I would like to publish to create a game for children.
Right.
You know, like for a company like Habba, for example, or that kind of thing. But each time I started with an idea I thought which was connected with that market, finally, it was too complicated. And my grail, yes, would be to publish a pure abstract game.
Yes, yes, which is very difficult now because the market, you know, doesn't really support that kind of game.
Exactly. I like two-player games. I like abstract games. And I think that my head has good connection for that. And I would be really happy to be successful with a pure abstract games. But like you said, publisher don't ask for that kind of game, and it's very difficult to find a publisher for that.
But if it comes with Bruno Cathala's name on it, surely that has to count for something.
You know, for me, very often that people say to me, yes, now you have a name, and it's easy for you to be published. In fact, it's not the case.
Wow, okay.
So I still have to fight to convince publisher that my ideas are the good ones, and that helps me to stay awake.
Well, Bruno, it's been great talking to you, and I just want to thank you for taking the time to talk to our little podcast and for answering my horrible cynical questions with such obvious passion and grace. You're one of the world's leading designers. We're certainly a fan of your work, and it's a real pleasure to hear that you're bringing so much passion to your profession and to the industry. So on behalf of gamers everywhere throughout Australia, thank you.
Thank you very much. I hope to have an opportunity one day to come in Australia.
Well, we hope to get you down here, mate. Come down for a PAX or something like that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Bruno for his time on the Diceman Cometh Edge Radio 99.3 FM. Trent, Mark and Garth. Gentlemen, if Bruno put out his Holy Grail game, his pure abstract two-player game, would anyone play it? Would you play it?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not an abstract player. Garth and I recently tried, you know, one of my holy grail of designers, Vlada Hrátil, his Tashkala on Board Game Arena, where we've been hanging out a bit lately.
We have.
And did absolutely nothing for me, I'm afraid. I mean, you know, it's sort of abstract with this silly theme pasted on, but the abstractness of it was very much there, and I didn't enjoy it at all.
No, me neither, which is a shame, because I was really wanting to like
it. Yeah, me too.
Obviously, you know, abstract games can take a whole bunch of different roots, but I mean, if it ends up being something like Tashkala, then I wouldn't be particularly interested.
Or it could be chess.
Could be Connect Four.
I mean, chess is basically, I mean, it's, you know, an abstract game.
Absolutely.
A very, very thin theme over it, I suppose. But hey,
That was a hit.
Exactly right. And look, you know, given his track record, he could do something amazing and we'd want to play it every night. Look,
it'd certainly be worth a look. Mm. Now, another thing that's certainly worth a look is our Facebook page, of course.
Pazow!
And, we've had some people checking it out again. Some new likers. I'd like to say thank you and welcome to Robert Horton, John Pollard, Josh Reynolds and Owen Tubb. Welcome aboard the Dice Man train.
And a special cheerio also to Mike Davies from our local Good Games here in Hobart on the arrival of his firstborn son, Gabrielle Thomas Davies.
Fantastic.
Is it too early to stick a paintbrush in that kid's hand? I don't think so. Congratulations, Mike.
What up, Mike?
And to anyone who's had a baby recently.
Or just practicing.
Or had sex with someone.
And someone who had a baby once.
Who's that?
The parents of Dice Man Dave, our producer, IT guru, general tech man and good all-round guy whose birthday it is today.
Is it his bloody birthday today?
Yes.
Dave, our producer.
Dave,
the
man. Let's
kill him.
I don't know where to go after that.
Well, how about we go to a song for him?
But we're leaving, aren't we? We're saying goodbye.
We are.
Goodbye and happy birthday to Dave. Yeah, see you all next
birthday,
week.
Happy birthday, Dave.
Catch ya.
This has been an edit of The Dice Men Cometh from Edge Radio 99.3 FM, Hobart's independent youth station. Find us on Facebook and edgeradio.org.au.